topic for this morning. Tipul b'sadeh v'ilanos b'shvi'is part 2, also known as agricultural work, that is permitted work, part 2. And this is part 2 of 2, and it also wraps up, God willing, my sequence of shiurim that began with Otzer Beis Din, and Rav Sammy will take over next week, God willing. And he'll be talking about the second part of something we talked about a while ago. We talked about not harvesting in a way that improves the land. So Sammy's going to talk about not harvesting in the manner of harvesters. And that'll take us, I don't know, 2-3 weeks? What do you think? Who knows? Okay. But this is very exciting because I really enjoyed preparing the shiurim for this. Last week, we talked about one heter, the heter of doing work in the field if it is not avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem. It is not field work, it is not grapevine work, and that was based on the braisa that appeared in Moed Katan Gimel Amud Aleph. We gave different definitions for what qualifies as avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem. We talked about work that only needs to be done once versus that which is ongoing. We talked about work that is not in both fields and vineyards. We gave a bunch of different explanations. But that was one type of heter. And as the Chazon Ish read the Rambam, it's a very narrow heter. It only applies in cases of hefsed. It only applies in cases of loss. And we discussed then why is this a separate category? Why doesn't it just come under the rules of loss? And we already talked about that. Then we started on the second heter. And the second heter is pseida, where there's loss in general, even if something is avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem, even if it does qualify as field and grapevine work, or vine work, I should say, nonetheless, if it's only a derabanan, it might be permitted in a case of preventing loss. And that was based in part on the Rambam's language in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud, where he talked about the land not becoming salted, not becoming ruined. And we asked the question of why pseida should work. And we said, in general, we have leniencies to prevent loss in halacha. But especially here, the mitzvah is not a mitzvah of destroying your field and vineyard. That's not what what's supposed to happen. And it's not inherent in the mitzvah. It's external. And that was the comment of the Beis Halevi. And that was what we're up to now. As we go forward, I want to dedicate learning this morning for Refuah Shleima for Reuven Pinchas Ben Yehudis, for Rabbi Bulka from Ottawa. So what we want to do now is to define what is pseida a little bit, and then to move into the big question, which is ok me'ilana, malacha which is permitted in order to maintain trees. And is that under heter number one, not avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem? Is it under heter number two, not pseida, or that there is pseida, and does it really matter? So, with all of that introduction and review from last week, I see other people joining, so this is a perfect time to join in. Now that I just finished reviewing from last week, you skipped all the boring stuff. So, can we define pseida? Can we define loss? If you take a look at the source sheet, at source Aleph, the tshuva of the Mabit, and the Mabit says any level of loss qualifies. He says, "V'lo shani lan ben pseida rabba le pseida zuta." I don't care whether it's a large loss or a small loss. The chomash sheyipaseidim lo yashkenu havi pseida. Any loss that would be experienced if you don't irrigate qualifies as loss. The halachilku ben pseidas yirakos davi davar muat le pseidas ilanos davi hefsed meruba. We don't find any distinction made between the loss of vegetables, greens, stuff that's grown from the ground, and the loss of trees. Notice, obviously, he includes within pseida the produce that's there right now, as well as installations like trees. David hefsed meruba, the trees would be hefsed meruba. The kevin di pased hakol im lo yashkenu lo mefaginan beinayu. Since it's a total loss of whatever it is that we are talking about, that's good enough. That's the statement that the Mabit makes. And the Chazon Ish, which I brought you in Source Beis, talks about the hefsed of rice. And he says, even though the hefsed is not total in the case that he describes, it's still called pseida. He says, Lamadim Mishnah Seinu, second parak, Da'orez b'chomakum kebeis hashlachin denifsed below hashka. Rice needs a lot of irrigation, right? If you know about rice paddies, I'm sure Chaim is well versed in rice paddies. Then you know that it needs a lot of water. We treat it like the Beis HaShlachin, the field that needs irrigation. It'll be ruined if it doesn't have it. And the Chazon Ish says, even if you don't give it that much water, it's not really like a Beis HaShlachin. It won't be a total loss. Nonetheless, by the fact that it's included in the Mishnah, that tells you that that's enough to qualify as a loss. So it doesn't need to be a massive loss. It doesn't need to be a total loss. One other note, two other notes regarding this pseida. Doing something to prevent pseida is only okay if the pseida is a common problem. So the Chazon Ish says this in a couple of places. In source Gimel, he says, "Va'ein lanu ela dvarim hakolim es harabim." Pseida means that which includes the masses. Not that it's a loss for the masses, but it's a loss that is common for people. If you have a particular situation in which, because of the unique circumstances of your plants, if you don't do malacha X, the plants will be ruined. But everybody else's plants are fine without doing that malacha. You're not justified in doing it. He quotes the Rambam's language. Why do they permit all of these things? Because if you didn't do them, the land would be ruined. Mashma demishum hefsed prati lo hitiru. He says, individual loss would not qualify. How does he get that from the Rambam? What's the diuk? What is he getting from the Rambam's language? How does he know this? What is it that he's seeing in the Rambam's language? We've read that language any number of times. I didn't even bother to bring it on the sheet today. Also because I wanted the sheets to fit neatly within, the number of pages. What is he reading into the Rambam there? How does he know that it's only if it's common? Because the Rambam says they only permit these things because if you don't, the land will be ruined. If my little corner is not going to be look great, if my plants are going to die, that's not he'aseh ha'aretz melecha. That's not the entire land being devastated. So he says it has to mean a type of malacha without which the land would be devastated. Even though my work is only on my little corner of the land. That's the Chazon Ish's deal. And he says, it's not like Cholamoed where we say it's about your personal loss. This is a big picture feature. So writes the Chazon Ish. And therefore, in source Dalid, he writes, even among common malachos, even among malachos that are commonly needed, you should know they don't permit everything. They don't allow you to fumigate the trees to kill off the worms. And they don't allow you to anoint the fruit with whatever it is you're going to put on there to keep the birds from eating it, even though those are common things. I wonder if the reason why the Chazon Ish, well, the reason why the Rambam, really, but I wonder if the reason why you're not allowed to do these things is because they are malacha that's done on the body of the tree. And we're going to see later that some don't permit malacha done on the body of the tree, even if they are just maintenance to prevent loss. So I wonder if that's why those are different. The Merkevas HaMishnah we're going to see later on is going to give a different explanation. He's going to say that these are considered avruye. These are considered to be improvement of the tree. That would eliminate, of course, the Chazon Ish's question about why these things are prohibited. The answer is because they're not just maintenance. Yes, for Sammy.
Do you think the Chazon Ish agrees with the Mabit or is more restrictive?
So I was trying to figure that out. The Mabit, until he says Kevin di Pasid Hakol, right? It sounds like he's saying no matter how much or how little, and then he throws in this total loss thing, and that's what throws me. I'm not sure. What do you think?
I think his point is that it has to be
What do you mean?
That meaning, like, I feel like what Ma'abit is saying is you might have, like, a garden in your backyard with, like, a few, I don't know, peppers or whatever it is you're growing. And it could be that the peppers are not going to really hit your bank account so hard. Like, you'll survive without those peppers. That doesn't matter, because we're not mahalik between Hesem and Ruba, Hesem Muad.
Correct. Like, no, that's for sure the Ma'abit.
But it has to be the peppers are going to die.
Okay.
Whereas the Chazon is sort of saying that you don't need them to die, but it has to be something that, like, that would affect the general populace.
Oh, wait, you're looking at a different Chazanish. You're talking about the Chazanish in Sor Zdalid. You're talking about the Chazanish in terms of his definition of which Malachos, and contrasting it with the Ma'abit about definition of Seda.
I don't know if Ma'abit disagree with Gimel, but I think it's definitely different.
I mean, Gimel and Dalid are, right, Gimel and Dalid together.
Right.
But
Chazanish is saying that it doesn't need to be that it's going to die, but he's also saying that it needs to be, like, I don't know if he'd be okay with your peppers.
See,
I'm not sure.
Right, so I thought you meant Beis, because the Chazan... The Chazonish makes, we are making two different points in the Chazonish, right? The point that we make in Gimel and Dalid, really Gimel, is that it's the type of malacha which is necessary for everybody in order to prevent the loss that he described in Beis.
Right.
And the loss that he described in Beis doesn't need to be a complete loss, even a loss of the, you know, the majority of the thing is already going to qualify.
Right.
And the Ma'abit, on the other hand, in Aleph, throws in this kol piece of it, and that's what confuses me.
Right, so I think the kol is an argument on Beis.
Could be. It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
It's certainly possible. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not sure. Okay. The last note regarding defining loss is just something from the Chazon Ish, where he makes an interesting point, which I think fits very well with what we said last week from Rosh Shlomo Zalman and from the Ma'ariel Diskin. What about the worker in the field? Right? I have a field, I have an orchard, and there's going to be a loss in the event that we don't do certain things, but the laborer is not... is not going to suffer a loss. So he says, "V'din ha'poel k'din balabayis." Says the poel has the same status as the balabayis. We do not distinguish. V'chol shemuter lebalabayis mipnei ha'hefsed muter gam lepoel lasos etzel balabayis. And anything that the balabayis is allowed to do to prevent loss, he's also allowed to do for the balabayis to prevent the loss of the balabayis. V'chol avoda asura asur lepoel lasos. Anything you're not allowed to do, the poel is not allowed to do. He has the same rules as the balabayis. V'ha'aver ala oved. V'gam balabayis over b'shvista sadeyu. If the poel does something wrong, then both of them are in trouble. The poel's wrong because he broke shvita, and the balabayis is wrong because he has to have his field halt, and here he has a worker who's working in it. So this idea that the poel is considered in some sense like the Baal reminds me of Ma'ariel Diskin and Rosh Shlomo Zalman defining the Hefker of Shemitah. Hefker of Shemitah does not mean it's ownerless. It means that everybody is an owner. And therefore the Poel is an owner also. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reaching because I like the idea. But I think it fits as a justification. And otherwise, I don't know why the Poel is allowed to do this. What? He's not a tool. He's not a wagon. He's not a plow. He's a person. What gave him the heter to do it? Well, they hired me. No. If I hire you to eat treif, is that allowed also? They, ostensibly not. And yes, I see in the chat room, Sammy's very excited that Poelim have made it into this year. He's nostalgic for last year. Okay. So, I think it's an interesting possibility that that's what the Chazon Ish is tapping into. Otherwise, I don't know why it's mutter. Okay. So that wraps up the Pseida definition. So now let's move into Ok Me Ilana, and the question that I asked at the outset, which is, we are going to see that you're allowed to do work to maintain your trees. And the question we're going to ask is that because of door number one or door number two? Is that because it's not called Avodah Shebasadeh VeShebekerem, field and vine work? Or is it because of pseida, to prevent loss? with some very significant differences between the two heterim in terms of their applications and what it is that we're going to permit. I'm not able to discuss all the OCMI things I wanted to discuss. As I said in my email that I sent out yesterday with the source sheet, there are certain limitations and known as time. But nonetheless, we're going to do as much as we can here. So, OCMI Ilana. So when we did the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we had that big brisa. The brisa listed a whole bunch of malachos which are prohibited, which Abaye thinks are deoraisas, as toldos, and which Rava thinks are asmachta. And in the course of that brisa, at the end of the brisa, we brought a bunch of malachos which we said are actually mutter because they're not avodah shebesadeh veshebekerem. And that's where we pick up in source Vav. Below, the Gemara there, I'm not going into the below and the challenge and so on, it doesn't affect us. Vahatanya, I have a brisa that says, and I skipped the beginning of that brisa, Yocholo yikashkish tachas hazesim. I would think you would not be allowed to do kishkush, which Rashi renders as hoeing, beneath the olive trees, v'lo ya'adir tachas ha'gefanim, you couldn't hoe beneath the grapevines, v'lo yamale nekoyim mayim, v'lo yase ugios ha'gefanim, different types of irrigation. Localized for particular areas. Tamalomar sadchalos is ra. The Torah says sadchalos is ra. Don't plant seeds in your field. Zriya bechlal haisa. I already knew I wasn't supposed to plant seeds. Veloma yatzisa. Why did the Torah specify it? Lahakish ela lomar loch ma zriya miyuchedes avodah shebesadeh veshebekarem af kol she avodah shebesadeh veshebekarem. To teach me that planting seeds is no good. That's something you do for fields and vineyards. Not other things. That was the Bryce's statement that says that kishkush is okay. Idur is okay. Nikoim ugios are okay. And then the Gemara asks, v'kishkush b'shvias mi shari, meaning mid'oraisa, is kishkush really biblically permitted in Shemitah? V'aksiv, v'hashvi'is tishmitena unitashta. The Torah says, abandon your field during Shemitah. And we learn on that, tishmitena milakashkesh, unitashta milasakel. Tishmitena means you're not allowed to do kishkush. Nitashta, abandon it, means don't destone your fields. Amar of Ukva Bar Chama, to which Rav Ukva Bar Chama says, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Why? Trei kishkushei havu. There are two different kinds of kishkush. Chad avriyei ilani. One improves the trees. V'chad setume pili. And the other one is just to seal up cracks. Sealing up cracks is what we call okmei ilana. It's maintenance of the tree. He doesn't use that word there, but that's what it is. As we'll find out. Avriyei ilan aser setume pili shari. You're not allowed to improve the health of the tree. You are allowed, on the other hand, to seal up the cracks. Okay, that's the Gemara in Moed Katan. So look, if you're telling me that avoda, which is not avoda shebesadeh veshebekerem, not field work, not grapevine work, in other words, the last category of items that we saw in that brisa, is permitted, but according to what we saw last week and we reviewed in the beginning today, according to the Chazon Ish's read of the Rambam, it's only permitted in order to prevent loss, right? Right? Reb Chaim, you with me? Non-avoda shebesadeh veshebekerem is permitted only in order to prevent loss. Then it seems clear that all of the non-avoda shebesadeh veshebekerem are permitted only if they are not avruyeh, if they're not, you know, about preventing loss. If so, why did they single out kishkush? Why is kishkush unique? The same statement that you just made, right? That these malachos that you've told me are okay because they're not avodah shebesadeh veshebekerem are permitted only la'okmei is true for any item on our list. It's true for negayim. It's true for ugiyot. Right? Why did you single out kishkush? Rusami.
Just like, the Gemara has a question here. It quotes the brisa, which indicates you can't even do kishkush.
Right.
And also, so that's why it singled it out, because there's a stira. The other ones, there's no brisa saying that you're not allowed to do that.
But why is there only a brisa for kishkush? Why is there only a statement for kishkush? Why isn't it a given that this is true for all of these? So Rav Reima Cohen of Otniel, in that article that I gave you last week, makes the following suggestion. He says, the answer is, and Rav Sami, maybe this is what you meant, that the other malachos are only la'okme by definition. It's only kishkush that has an okme version and an avruye version. That we need to make a distinction between the one that's maintenance and the one that's actually improvement. That's his suggestion. I think you could also suggest that that if a malacha is la avruye, by definition it's a different min and it's not the one on the list. That's another possibility. In any case, that's our first edition of the idea of distinguishing between that which maintains and that which improves. The Gemara never used the word okme in this. It just distinguished between it maintaining and improving. If all I had was this Gemara, I would have assumed the whole issue is pseda. Right? You're allowed to do this to prevent loss. That would have been my assumption. We also, though, have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Amud Beis. And that's source Zion on the sheet. Rav Yosef Bar Abba. Rav Yosef Bar Abba said, "Ikla Rabba Bar Yirmiyah la'asrein va'asa v'aisi masnisa biyadei." He says, Rabba Bar Yirmiyah showed up here, and he had the following brisa, and I don't know what he said. Maslian umizamin bishvias. He said, you can fumigate to get rid of the worms, you could anoint the plant to avoid the birds eating from the plant, you can do that in Shemitah. Ve'in maslian umizamin b'moed. You can't do it on Cholamoed. Kan v'kanin megazmin. You're not allowed to do gizum. Gizum is cutting off a branch in order to make more branches grow around it. Go back to Rav Sami to his shiur on tree work for more of that. If you're glutton for punishment. V'sachin shemen legazum bein b'moed bein b'shvias. And in the event that you have a tree which had a branch cut off like that, then you are allowed to rub oil on the spot, whether it's chalamoed or shmita. End of brisa. Veles nagar, Rashi says, chacham, velo bar nagar di yifrikine, and we don't know what he was talking about. Right? Which makes me feel good. Because if Rabba Bar Yirmiyah taught a brisa and no one knew what he was talking about, why is it weird that, you know, we can have a shir on Shemitah and no one can know what we're talking about? The, Rabba Bar Yirmiyah taught a brisa, and in the brisa he taught this lesson regarding fumigating and regarding smearing oil or whatever the material is, in Shemitah, and he said, Shemitah, good, Chol HaMoed, bad. And I don't know what he's talking about. So, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Ana lo nagarana, v'lo bar nagarana, u'mefarkinam lo, he says, I'm not a tamachacham, I'm not the son of a tamachacham, and yet, I can figure it out. No word on why he's allowed to say that about his father. He can say it about himself. They can't say it, but, nunu. Maika kashiole. Yes, and there's some discussion about that. That's not so pushed. I mean, we do it, and I'm not telling people don't do it. But the Maika Kashiole, what is it that bothers him about this brisa in the first place? Ilema Moed Ashvi is Kashiole. If the question is why is this mutter in Shemitah but Aser in Chol HaMoed? The Maishna Shvias Tishari Maishna Moed Aser Midami. He says it's not comparable. Shvias Malacha Aser Rachmana. In Shemitah, you're not allowed to do malacha, you are allowed to strain. Natanel, I think this was what you were asking about last week when you asked about the ritva on tircha as part of the definition of Odesh HaBesad HaVeshabekarim. I think Yesh Liyashiv, but I think that must have been where your question came from. But he says, Moed, Avilu Tircha Nami Aser. But he says, in terms of Chol HaMoed, it'll be Aser, because strain is also Aser. So don't ask me why I'm allowed to fumigate in Shemitah and non Chol HaMoed, their rules are different. That's all. Ve'ela, here we get to the part that's relevant for our discussion. Ve'ela zium agizum kakashile. If what's bothering you is why is it that, that zium is okay, right? We said maslian umizamin, and you're not allowed to do gizum. The, gizum we're saying is usser. I'm sorry, the other way around. We said maslian umizamin in Shemitah. No, that's correct. Right, maslian umizamin in Shemitah, but you're not allowed to do gizum. He says, midami, why are they comparable? Zihum okme ilana vishari. Zihum is tree maintenance. that's okay. I'm allowed to smear stuff on it to keep the birds from pecking at it. Gizum avruya ilana va'asur. Whereas gizum, that's actually for the improvement of the tree, to make a branch grow. So that's why there's a distinction. So he says, don't bother me about this, Bryce. So that's easy. And in the event that you're going to ask me, ve'ela zihum azihum kakashale, if your question is, within zihum, why is it that you're allowed to do zihum in Shemitah, you're not allowed to do zihum in Chol HaMoed, and apparently it's not a tircha thing, he has a different problem about zihum. He's bothered about two sources regarding zihum in Shemitah. Diktani maskelinu mizamin b'shvi is here you're allowing zihum in Shemitah. Very many, but we've learned you're only allowed to do zihum ad Rosh Hashanah. Ad Rosh Hashanah in b'shvi is low, only up to Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara answers, there are two different kinds of zihum. Just like we said in Moed Katan, there are two different kinds of kishkush, so to here there are two different kinds of zihum. The zihum that maintains the tree, mutter. The zihum that improves the tree, usser. So what we're getting here is, what we're drawing from this Gemara is, that we have a distinction in which we are willing to allow okme ilana, maintenance of the tree, as illustrated regarding the permission for one kind of zihum, as well as why zihum can be usser, and gizum, this cutting off a branch, why zihum could be mutter and cutting off a branch would be usser. Are we on the same page still? I'm asking because I've got six faces I can see, four faces I can't see, and one who's got his camera blocked. I just want to make sure that we're still holding. Again, what we're talking about now is, thank you. It's good to see you. What we're talking about is this issue of oak me'ilana, of malacha that is tree maintenance. And what we have is the Gemara in Moed Katan saying that I'm allowed to engage in hoeing in the event that it's to seal up cracks, but not to improve the tree. I have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah which is telling me now that zihum, this practice of smearing stuff on the fruit, is going to be permitted if it's okmei, but not allowed if it's, once again, avruye, improvement. The last source on this is the Yerushalmi, and that's in source Ches. Mishnah in Yerushalmi talks about the following. Mizamin es hanetios, you're allowed to do zihum for plants, and korchanosin, you combine them, v'kotmanosin, you can cover them in ash, v'osin lehem batim, you can make houses for them. That's going to be a big discussion. This issue of making houses for trees. My next run of Shemitah Shiurim is going to involve the issue of greenhouses. And we'll have to talk about what exactly Oslem Batin means. Umashkenos and Rosh Hashanah. And all these things are allowed until Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says on that, Mizahamin es hanetios. You're allowed to smear stuff on the plants, on the trees. So Masnisin de Rebbe or Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Baram Kerabanan Mizamin Maslian Bashvias. Our Mishnah says you're only allowed to do Zium until Rosh Hashanah. However, the Rabbanan disagree and say you're actually allowed to do it in Shemitah proper. So Rabbi Yossi quotes Rabbi Avuna with the following question. What's the difference between Mizahim and Osebayis? The Mishnah says Osebayis can be done only until Rosh Hashanah, and the Rabbanan don't disagree. No making houses for trees during Shemitah. However, when it comes to Mizamin, the Rabbanan say you're allowed to do that during Shemitah. Why is it that Mizahim is allowed during Shemitah, whereas setting up the house for the tree is not? HaMizahim eino ela kemoshiv shomer. All you're doing with Mizahim is you are guarding it, you are maintaining it, you are preserving it, whereas bias, osel latzel v'higidela machmasan, the bias, you're actually providing shelter, shade, and it's going to grow as a result. Again, we have to talk about the house thing, but that's not this shear. So what you're seeing, though, in this Yerushalmi, is that the view of the Rabbanan is that zihum is going to be permitted according to the Rabbanan throughout Shemitah. According to Rebbe, zihum is only going to be permitted before Shemitah starts, up until Rosh Hashanah. According to the Bavli, what we saw in Avodah Zarah, right, is Zihum going to be Usur or Mutter during Shemitah? What's the conclusion of the Bavli?
Depends,
right? Two kinds of Zihum, right? There's the conclusion in the Bavli, in Avodah Zarah, in Sur Zion, is there are two kinds of Zihum. Maintenance Zihum, okay. Improvement Zihum, not okay. I get to the Yerushalmi, and I have the position of the Rabbanan, who say, go for it, Zihum is fine during Shemitah, and the Gemara clarifies, this is maintenance Zihum. And then you have Rebbe, who says, no Zihum, apparently even maintenance. Right? So if I were making a list of who says what regarding Zihum, I would say the Bavli is fine with Zihum as long as it's maintenance. I would say that the Rabbanan are fine with Zihum as long as it's maintenance. The only one who doesn't like maintenance-oriented Zihum is the view of Rebbe slash Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar in the Yerushalmi, right? Is that correct? That's straightforward, right? So now flip to source test. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Af is man amikdash mutter l'sakel l'zabel asados v'ladar amikshos v'midlos beis ha-shlachan ad Rosh Hashanah. Even during the time of the beis ha-mikdash, you're allowed to destone the fields, you're allowed to fertilize the fields, you're allowed to hoe, you're allowed to do all sorts of fun stuff until Rosh Hashanah. Right? And in addition to that, he lists a whole bunch of more things that you're allowed to do until Rosh Hashanah, including what I bolded, mizahamin es hanetios. You're allowed to shmir stuff on the trees. Up until Rosh Hashanah shel Shavuos. But not during Shemitah. It sounds like the Rambam says Zihum during Shemitah is Asur, without any qualification, without any distinction. It's Asur whether it is improvement, it is Asur whether it is maintenance. The Rambam does not draw any distinction. That is a problem. Does that mean the Rambam rejects Okmei Ilana altogether? Rabbi Emar Cohen says, no, that can't be. Don't extrapolate from there to think that the Rambam is throwing out Okmei. He's got something going regarding Zihum, but not all of Okmei. And in fact, you can support that by looking at Source Yud. Because in Source Yud, the Rambam talks about Kishkush, and he says explicitly, if it's Lahavros, it's Ha'ilan Asur. Right? If Kishkush is, and it's our Gemara. If Kishkush is to improve the tree, it's Asur, v'yam listom asabatim in Mutter, and if it's just sealing up cracks, it's Mutter. So the Rambam believes in that distinction of Okmei Avruye when it comes to Kishkush. So the question then is, what happened to Zihum? What is the Rambam's deal regarding Zihum? So two approaches. One approach, and this is what I brought you before, regarding the fumigation, to answer the Chazon Ish about why fumigation would be Usur and why shmearing would be Usur. One approach is the Merkavas HaMishnah, which I brought you here in source Yud Aleph. And in the interest of time, because it's already 11:03, and this isn't the Iker, but you can see it there on the sheet, and I even bolded parts of it for you, he takes the view that the Rambam can think that a malacha which can be la'avruye, like Zihum, is automatically viewed as la'avruye. If it has a la'avruye component, it is automatically la'avruye. And therefore Zihum, which has an avruye component, is assumed to be la'avruye, and therefore he's just going to say Asur. That's the Merkavas HaMishnah. The other approach is the Mishmeres HaShviyas, and then I saw also, Avraham HaKohen brings this as being the view of the Pas HaShulchan, but I didn't look at the Pas HaShulchan, and that is that malacha that involves Guf HaIlan, the body of the tree, is automatically Asur. If it's the body of the tree, it's automatically Asur. Take a look in source Yud Beis. This one is shorter than Yud Aleph, so I'm okay reading it. He says, "Umakom acher nisbaru dvarav shekol sheosek beilan chashiv avodas ha'ilan va'asur." If it involves the body of the tree, that's called tree work, and it is Asur. V'rak satume pilishari, sealing cracks is okay. Why? Shesosem hanekoyim shebekarka ve'eino avodas ha'ilan, because you seal up the cracks in the ground. You're not working on the tree. It's not cracks in the tree. and therefore it's okay. So those are your two possibilities for why the Rambam seems to reject Okmeh when it comes to Zium. The Rambam is fine with Okmeh Ilana. The Rambam believes in Okmeh Ilana. The world has not collapsed. Then why did the Rambam do this regarding Zium? Zium's a different story. Body of the tree, perhaps. Perhaps because it has this Avruyeh component, and that's going to cause us to follow Rebbe and say, no Zihum at all? Right? Follow Rebbe in the Yerushalmi? Maybe that's why. Okay. But let's go back to Okmeh now. What we've said, again, we had Heter number one, which was Malacha that's not tree and grapevine work. Heter number two is Pseda. Which is it regarding Okmeh? Why is Okmeh Ilana okay? Is Okmeh Ilana okay because it's not Avodah Shebesadeh v'Shebekarim? Is Okmeh Ilana okay because it's to prevent Pseda? Is it a third thing in its own right? Is it that we have three different categories? What exactly is this? So remember what we said last week. The Rambam told us, as explained by the Chazon Ish, that even the non-Avodah Shebesadeh v'Shebekarim is permitted only in a case of Pseda, right? That was what we said. We reiterated today. We reiterated it today. Whereas the Ritva said that no, avodah shabbosadav shabbakarim, non avodah shabbosadav shabbakarim is always going to be permitted. Apply that here. I could read Okmeh Ilana both ways. I could say that Okmeh Ilana is identical with the heter of it's not avodah shabbosadav shabbakarim. And I think that's what the Ritva believes. If you take a look in Sois Yud Gimel, when we said non-avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem, mazriya miyuchedes, perush, she avodah regila utzricha lesados ulahashbiach. He defined avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem as that which improves the plant. Specifically. Right? You remember we learned this. We went through this. Yudalit also, Satume Pili Shari, we said that sealing cracks is mutter, Perish She'eno Elala Okume Be'alma, because it is only Okume. It is only maintenance. Shali Kane Sashemish Baina Bekaim Belo Chashiva Avodah, he's worried about the sun drying out, presumably the plant. Aval Yesh Kishkush Lachazik He'ilon Ulhashbicha, whereas Kishkush that improves the tree, that's Avodah Shebesadeh v'Shebekerem. So I think the Ritva is trying to tell us here that Okmeh Ilana is just another version of non-avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem, and it will follow those rules. Whereas Rashi doesn't think so. Rashi explicitly says that kishkush, that is to seal cracks, is, look at source tesvav, satume pili shari, de'is be mishum pseida. It's about preventing a loss. Now, the truth is I'm going to have a problem, because in a little bit I'm going to show you Rashi and Maseches Avodah Zarah, who is going to seem to say that you can use Okmeh Ilana to permit a de'oraisa, which Pseida should not be able to do. But I'm okay with that, because this Rashi is explicitly linking Okmeh Ilana to Pseida, and that's what I want to show here. And if I take the expansive view that all of the permitted malachos in that brisa, if I take the expansive view that all of the mutter malachos that are listed in that brisa are in fact Okmeh Ilana, not only Zium that is permitted there, but all of them are Okmeh Ilana, right? Then note that the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel and Perek Aleph Halachos Ches Tiyud, those classic ones where he listed all the things you can do so that the land doesn't become Malecha and all that, he brought those Malachos. He brought the Malachos in that Brisa, the ones that we're saying are Okmeh Ilana. And he said Pseida is what permits them. Right? Let me make sure that I said that clearly, because I don't think I did. That Brisa listed Malachos which are not called Avodah Shebesadeh v'Shebekerem. Right? It listed the Malachos which are not Avodah Shebesadeh v'Shebekerem. The Rambam listed those Malachos. And he said they're permitted. Why? So that the land is not ruined. He gave you the Pseida justification. I think the Rambam is with Rashi, saying that Okmeh Ilana is just a function of Pseida. And I think that's why the Brisas Malachos are only permitted in a case of Pseida, as the Chazon Ish explained the Rambam. He joins them together. I also think Rosh Shlomo Zalman supports this view. The Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Micha Shlomo Aleph Nun Aleph Ches supports this view as well. I didn't bring it here. I bring him later on the sheet, I think, in a little bit. But he makes the claim that avoda that is not avoda shebesada veshebekerem might be. You know what? I'm not going to go into it. I think he supports this view. Just I'm looking at the time here, and there are other things we have to get to. But here's the nafkamina. You'll tell me who cares. Ok meilana is mutter. Zium that's ok meilana is mutter. Kishkush that's ok meilana is mutter. Who cares whether your reasoning is it's not called tree field grapevine work, or it's not called, or it's mutter because it's pseida. And the answer is, because what if I have an action which is fundamentally maintenance oriented, but there's no concern for pseida right now? Right? It's maintenance oriented. So it's not avoda shebesada veshebekerem. However, there's no pseida right now. So I can't claim pseida to justify it. According to the Ritva, it's going to be mutter. Whereas according to Rashi and the Rambam, it's going to be usser. And in fact, so wrote the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish sided with the Ritva we saw last week. Take a look at source Tezayin. He says, "V'lo nesar b'shvias el malacha hamashbachas es hakarka l'zriyo l'tzmicha." In Shvias, we only prohibit malacha that improves the land for planting, for growing. V'ugios hechsher l'mayim aval hin atzman lav shevachu. He says the reason why we allow those irrigation ditches is because they only allow the water to be there, but they don't improve anything. As I brought from the Ritva, v'hilkach osin ugios b'shvias afilu b'sav shana l'tach matzai shvias v'af b'daleka pseida. Even with out pseida, these malachos are permitted. You follow? Chazon Ish paskins like the Ritva against the Rambam and says you don't need pseida if this is a malacha that is not normally done for the sake of improvement. I'm impressed. Okay. So, which levels of prohibition are we going to permit for the sake of la'okume? This might be another distinction between the two heterim, right? If it's about heter number two, if it's about pseida, then only the rabbanans are okay. Right? Isn't that logical? In the event that the issue is pseida is only good enough to wipe away the rabbanans, and in fact, that's what the Rash writes on the Mishnah in Shvias. In Source Yudzayim, we talk about mizamenes and metios, vekorchanos, and doing zeum, and so on, only until Rosh Hashanah, and the Rash writes in Source Yudches, these should be usher within 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Hachashari shalo yamusu hanetios. This is okay to keep the trees from dying. Dahanachavodos derabbananheim. These are rabbinic. And I underlined at the end, v'hacha lo gazer. There is no gezera, because we can allow derabbanans. We're good with that idea. I have the Mariel Diskin talking about this in terms of getting rid of weeds. And he says also, derabbanans, you're okay with. D'oraisas, we're not okay with. However, if I take the first approach, if I say ok me'ilana is okay because it's not for improvement, because it's not avodah shebesada v'shebekerem, then you could even allow d'oraisas. Take a look at Rashi in Source Chav. This is the Rashi I mentioned before, who seems to be okay with permitting d'oraisas. Rashi says, Sachin Shemen Legizum, Kidei Shelo Yamosi Ilan, you can put oil around where the branch was already cut off. So the tree doesn't die. Im Nigzam Kodim Lachain, Malacha Sheavodas Karka Asa Rachmana, Vahani Lav Malachas Karka Ninu De Okume Ilana Be'almohu Shelo Yamus. This is just Okume Ilana, and therefore it is okay. Even though what he's talking about is something that malachashi avodas karka asa rachmana, these are deoraisas. Rashi seems to be okay with it. This Rashi and avodas zara dafnunam base, even if it is a deoraisa. I don't know how that works, because Rashi above equated okme with pseida, which only should permit a derabanan. So I'm not clear on Shitas Rashi. But nonetheless, he does seem to be saying it. I wonder. And then I brought you this Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo, who really confuses me on this score in terms of what he's willing to permit. And I'm skipping him right now because it's 11:14, but I brought it here and you should read it and enjoy. Whether you take heter number one or heter number two, what qualifies as okmei? what exactly does okmei mean? So it seems to be prevention of harm. What about preventing natural deterioration? So Rav Kook in Shabbat Haaretz in Source Chaf Beis seems to say that that it's okay. He seems to say it's okay. He writes, Yesh omrim shekol achiluk shebein okmei ilana lavruei ilana eino kim b'malach shein derabanan. He says, some say the whole distinction between okmei ilana and avruei ilana only applies to rabbinic things. That's where we're going to allow okmei. Shekshila okmei ilana have hefsid velo gazru rabanan. Because if it's to maintain the tree, you're avoiding loss. The rabanan do not create their gzeros. Ulefize bezomer shi malacha ha'asura min ha'tara. So zomer, which is actually a de'oraisa, pruning, ain hefresh bein la'okmei ilana o la'avruyeh. There's no distinction between okmei and avruyeh. It's a de'oraisa. Okmei will not permit de'oraisas. Ula olam huasr. V'chol, he's taking the view, obviously, that it's about pseida. V'chol ha'heterim b'mizanev gefanim v'kotetz kanim v'kayotze b'zeh eino ne'amarim kim k'mishkavet k'shemizkavim le'etzim avokol shemechavim le'toela sa'avoda afilum avoda zos tia la'okmei ilana higamkin asu asr min ha'torah. He goes on to say, therefore, that when it comes to various acts involving vines, that if it's intended for the benefit of the avoda, even if it is ok mei ilana, it's still aser min ha-Torah. And then he writes, ulefize yiyya hazimur shu kidei laharich yamav shel hagefen gamkein aser min ha-Torah. That's really the part that I wanted to make sure to get to. He says, therefore pruning, that is only to extend the days of the grapevine, is going to remain aser biblically. So he doesn't allow it because it's a biblically prohibited act. But here's what I wanted to make sure to emphasize for you. The only reason he doesn't accept it is because it's a biblically prohibited act. If it were a derabanan, he would be okay under okmei. Even though all you're doing is being ma'arich yamav shel ha'ilan, even the shel ha'gefen, you're just extending its lifespan. In other words, you're only preventing natural deterioration. And yet that's called okmei. So okmei ilana, according to Rav Kook, includes avoiding natural deterioration. You follow? Says the Chazon Ish, not true. Chazon Ish says it only works in the event that you are preventing external harm. It's explicit in Source Chav Gimel. Just look at the part that I underlined. The end. V'lo mikrei okmei ilana ela atzulei hefsed min ha'chutz. Preventing external harm is all that counts. That's a very interesting point. What about preventing harm to the fruit? And this is something we discussed in Otzer Beis Din a little bit, but I wanted to unpack it because there's more to be said. What about preventing harm to the fruit? So we already remember, because we said it, that Rav Kook says it has to be the tree. Preserving the produce is a non-starter. The Rambam's language, he said, in Shemitah Yovel Aleph Yud, was the land is going to be ruined. Yamus kol eitz sheba, all the trees will die. And in Shabbat Haaretz he writes, and I brought it for you here in Source Chaf Dalid, Zed Davka, in the middle of the source, Zehu Davka lahamides ha'ilan. This is only where you're keeping the tree going. Sheyia ro'ila vodaso lachar Shemitah, so that you'll be able to use the tree after Shemitah. But if it's for the fruit, it is asur. That which is for the trees is what the Torah said don't do. It said they're open for everybody. The owners don't have any presence there. You're not allowed to do anything for the sake of the tree. That's what he says in Shabbat Haaretz. In Mishpat Kohen, he spells this out even further. And he says that okmei ilana is really about the needs of the land, not the produce. If you take a look at Source Chaf Hei, he says The ikara heter, at the third line in source chaf hey, the ikara heter whom yishum shalot te'ase ha'aret mleichavi amus kol eit shaba umbevadai lo shayach zeh beperish v'yis atzmam sheinen o'achram l'kiyumam klal. He says the whole heter of the land's going to be ruined doesn't apply to the produce. We have nothing, no obligation to keep the fruit alive. Apparently we have an obligation to keep the land alive. Right? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, maybe? I don't know. But no mitzvah of keeping the produce alive. Further, he says, just look at Rashi. He says, Rashi said this explicitly in Moed Katan. Now, he's going to refer you to the Rashi, but I brought you the Rashi because you should see it. Take a look at Source Chav Vav, the Gemara Moed Katan Vav Amid Beis. Tanya Idoch, Brisa says, Marbitzin Sdei Lavan Erev Shvias Kedei Sheyetzu Yirakos B'Shvias. I have a field in which stuff is growing. I am allowed to water it before Shemitah so that the vegetables will emerge in Shemitah. I'm also allowed to water it in Shemitah so that the produce will grow after Shemitah. So far, so good. Right? Watering the field before Shemitah so that the vegetables grow during Shemitah? Check. Watering it during Shemitah so that the vegetables grow after Shemitah? Check. Now look at source Chav Zayin. Kedesha Yetsu Bashvias, he says, Avalo Yashke Bashvias Kedesha Yetsu Bashvias. He says, you're not allowed to water it in Shemitah in order to get fruit in Shemitah. It's weird, the Dibra Maschil, I get that. But he says, the fact that the Gemara said in Moed Katan, the Braisa said, you're only allowed to water it so that you get produce after means not during. So now we go back to Rav Kook, and he says, hello. According to anybody who thinks you're allowed to do this to prevent loss of the fruit, why can't I water it during Shemitah so I get fruit during Shemitah? Why is Rashi telling me only after Shemitah? That's a pretty good proof, says Rav Kook. And he has one other proof from the Yerushalmi. I think I actually brought you the Yerushalmi in full. Afterwards. Yeah, take a look at Tzvos Chav Ches. Don't rely on the Rishami that you have there in the middle of Rav Kook. I brought you the full piece. V'lo chein tana. This is a fun Yerushalmi about things you can do for trees that are dropping their fruit too early. V'lo chein tana. Ilan shu menabel peirosav. A tree that's dropping the fruit too early. Sokrin oso besikra. So you're allowed to color the tree. You do something involving a dye for the tree. Umatinen oso avanim. You load the tree down with stones. Umivahasin lay. Mivahasin, the mefarshim have a debate as to what that means, but I took the view in one of the mefarshim that it means you weaken the tree. That's why I wrote in makhishin. Diavod, so that it will produce trees properly, fruit properly. So the Gemara there asks, are you allowed to do those things? I have a brisa that says you're allowed to do those things. Amar taman delo yitain perosov. And the Gemara there, without going through the whole sugya, says the reason why that's okay is to keep you from to keep it from giving the fruit too early. That's mutter, as opposed to getting it to produce fruit now. So says Rav Kook now, based on that, and you can go back and see it in Source Chafei. He says that's talking about fruit from year six, or it's talking about something that affects the nature of the tree itself such that it's permitted because it's about the survival of the tree. It's not about survival of this fruit that the tree is dropping right now for the sake of the Shemitah year. So says Rav Kook. And the Chazon Ish says, absolutely not. He says the Heter Pseida works even for the sake of the fruit of this year. He says, first of all, the Yerushalmi's on my side. Because the simple read of the Yerushalmi is, as Rav Sammy knows, right, I saw him smile, it's about the fruit from this year. It's about dropping your fruit early in the Shemitah year. That's number one, says Rav Kook. Number two, as far as your Gemara in Moed Katan that we saw, not this Gemara Moed Katan they brought with Rashi, but the Gemara Moed Katan that we've been learning since the beginning of the year, that opening Gemara, it keeps equating Shemitah and Chol HaMoed, right? He says, why would the Gemara keep equating the rules of Shemitah and Chol HaMoed if for Shemitah the only loss that matters is the tree itself? In Chol HaMoed, the loss that we're talking about is the produce proper. You're allowed to do things for your field on Chol HaMoed in order to prevent the loss of the fruit right now. We equate that with Shemitah. The same thing must be true for Shemitah. Further, he brings you an Imuke Yosef that he believes supports it. He brings you a Mishnah in Moed Katan. If you look at Moed Katan, I brought you the Mishnah in Source Lamed. He says, Sadin es ha'ishus ve'es ha'achbarim misdei ha'ilanu misdei ha'lavan shalo kedarka b'moed. He says, you're allowed to trap moles and rodents from the field. He says, you're not worried that moles are destroying the trees. You're worried about them destroying the produce that you have right now. He says, of course that's true. As far as Rashi on Vav Amud Beis, I'm a little out of order in my sources, but take a look at Source Chavtes. He says, as far as that Rashi, he says, when it says, Avalo Yashke Beshvias Kadeshi Yetsu Beshvias, don't irrigate in Shemitah so that you'll get produce in Shemitah, he says all that means is that if they emerge during Shemitah, they'll be aser mishum svichin. They'll be aser as wild growth, which we know you're not allowed to have during Shemitah, so therefore don't water it for that purpose. It's not that watering is wrong. It's that watering won't help you. You follow? Again, he's saying that Okmei Ilana is permitted for the sake of the fruit. Then why does Rashi say don't water it in order to get fruit during Shemitah? Why does it only say watering for after? Because if you get fruit during Shemitah, you can't eat it anyway. The produce you're talking, these are yarakos. These are going to be svichin. They're going to be aser. That's why. And finally, the Chazon Ish says, in Source Lamed Aleph, he says, Besimin tazayin sivkot and dalinis kashenu b'lashon HaRambam shekatzav tam heter hashka kadei shelo teyaseh ha'aretz melecha b'yamus kol eitz. He says, yeah, but what about the Rambam's language? The Rambam talks about trees dying. Rav Kook noticed that. Chazon Ish says, what am I going to do with that? B'gemara mashma d'shviyas dumya d'moed d'mishum hefzed yibul ha'aretz shari. He says, the Gemara Moed Katan keeps comparing it to Chol HaMoed, where it's allowed just to save the produce. Venirada hadakasa rabbeinu v'te'asa ha'aretz m'lechavi amus kol eitz, eina kavana t'tiba sha'eitz lo te'asa pri la'olam. He says, you can't be serious. The Rambam doesn't mean that the tree is going to die. The tree is going to die if you don't water it. Ela yamus b'shana zuvali v'ashal peirosav. He says, it can't be. And he said, I'll prove to you it can't be. What's my proof? Because remember, and this is the second paragraph in Lamed Aleph, but I'm looking at the time, so I'm going to say it outside, which is too bad, because he writes it nicely. He says, remember Abaye? Abaye and Rabbi Yossi, right? Those who argue that toldos are deoraisa, and therefore they're only permitted when Shemitah is derabanan, right? According to them, you're not allowed to water during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Or kol yoshevei ha'aleha. You're not allowed to water, because it's now a deoraisa. Right? So, if the only type of watering that we permit is watering when the trees will die without it, that means that when you have Shemitah de'oraisa, you're not even allowed to do that. And you have to allow all the trees to die. How long will it be before you get tree fruit? Thanks to the din of Arla, 4 years. Right? You're losing all your trees in Shemitah. Another 3 years of Arla afterwards. Right? And then it's everyone's fruit, the year after that, is going to be revai. What, are you out of your mind? He says, that's not, you're going half the Shemitah cycle without trees? Is that for real? And he says, and if you're going to tell me that, no, it's the nace, v'tzivisias birchasi lachem, the trees are going to be okay. There had to be recorded in Tanakh somewhere. That would have to be recorded in Chazal somewhere. A miracle that the trees are going to die without irrigation, but thanks to an ace, we still have trees. The Chazon Ish says, I'm not buying it. The answer is that even in a time when Shemitah's de'oraisa, you're allowed to do that which will keep the trees alive. And when Shemitah's de'rabanan, you're allowed to do that which would even be just to maintain the produce. That's the idea. That's the Chazon Ish's position. And he justifies all of the different sources that Rav Kook brought. And as far as the issue of the produce isn't yours, once again, I go back to the Maral Diskin, I go back to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and the idea that the produce really is everybody's. Hefker means it belongs to everyone. That's the Chazon Ish's explanation for how this works. And so he concludes that you would be allowed to be lenient in this. In source Lamed Dalet, Velachib Makam Hefset Shiyamus Kol Eitz Shiyipastu Kol Haperos. If you're going to lose all of the trees and all the produce, and there, Rav Sammy, you see him come to the word Kol, right? Against, it seems, what we saw in the rice source above. So it appears, I'm taking Kol literally up there. But he says he is lenient, and therefore Rav Rimon, in source Lamed Hey, I retyped for you from the English Shemitah book, because I didn't have the Hebrew one here. And he says, he first is makbid for Rav Kook, and he says, only if it will cause the plant to die. Then he says, there's actually a machlokes between Achronim, Rav Kook being strict and the Chazon Ish being lenient. And he says, there's grounds for leniency in certain cases to rely on the Chazon Ish. He'd like you to follow Rav Kook, but he says there are leniencies with Chazon Ish. So it's 11:30. I'm going to take 10 seconds just to do a recap. We now understand, hopefully after all of this, that not all malacha is prohibited during Shemitah. Number one, if it's not avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem with the different definitions we gave it, then in a case of pseda, you're allowed to do it, possibly even d'oraisas. If it's something that is avodah shebesadeh v'shebekerem, but it's needed to prevent pseda, it is also permitted if it's a derabanan. And then we have this third category of oak me'ilana, tree maintenance, which may include fruit maintenance, according to the Chazon Ish, which may be part of category one, in which case even d'oraisas potentially could be permitted, or it could be part of category two, pseida, in which case we permit only derabanans. Follow? Thank you very much. I am happy to turn the floor over to Rav Sammy for next Friday. Shkayach.
Rabbi Tertina, did you get a chance to see that before?